You are interested in the unknown, the mysterious, the unexplainable. That is why you are here.
We are gathered here as advisors, as scientists.
The kind of place you expect a ghost to like to wander around.
Hey, we all know that we're going down, baby.
I'll help you. I'm something of a witch.
Welcome to Mission Spooky. I'm your fantastic host, JC. With me today, as per usual, the queen of everything herself, Kiki, our local cryptid enthusiast, Cord, and the mushroom maiden, Kayla.
You'll get it eventually, everybody.
One of these days. One of these days. I was so... I almost said mushroom princess, and that's, I think, what fucked me up.
No one would describe
And I'm like, she's
princess.
Married. Legally, she can't be a princess. She would be... Well, I guess you could still be
You're
a princess and
princess.
Married. Yeah, the queen has to die first.
Wow. Okay. Oof. I am the queen of everything. So
you know she's in the room right now, right?
Well, she's still alive, so which is good. I'm just saying, like, mm-hmm. before
yeah.
I was going over okay. the logic in my head.
Okay. Yeah. No regicide.
I don't want that job. I'm perfectly happy on the outskirts.
So how y'all doing today?
Tired and sweaty.
Doing all right. Looking forward to this new whimsical season. Of Mission Spooky.
I'm hyped as frick for it, yo.
Yeah, we did so much, like, sad stuff last year.
A lot of death, a lot of murders.
Yeah, a lot of...
Of, like, a lot of people at once.
Yeah, we did a lot of massacres last year. And we didn't even finish them. Like, there's more, but we need to take a break from that. Because it's so depressing. Speaking of murder, though, we do have an update on something that we have talked about at length. In one of our October episodes, and that is that there has been a verdict, at least one verdict, in the Rust film. So we had discussed this about in our paying tribute to those who lost their lives during filming back in October. We did a whole episode on that, and unfortunately,
which one was Rust?
That is the one where Helena Hutchins was killed by Alec Baldwin.
Oh, right. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
kind of accidentally killed, but.
Well, yeah, it was an accidental death.
Yeah.
The ruling, ironically, because I really wasn't sure how this was going to go down after listening to the testimony of the assistant director, because he was crying on the stand and saying that it was basically like his fault. But Hannah Gutierrez-Reed will be sentenced on April 15th for involuntary manslaughter in the accidental shooting death of Helena Hutchins. So she could face up to 18 months in prison. That is the armorer.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. That is the armorer. And the judge basically said that she was, quote, negligent, careless, and thoughtless, that she should not have brought live ammunition at all to the Rust set, which she should have known better. She knew that she couldn't do that. And then the prosecutor, Carrie Morrissey, her quote is her entire job is to be responsible, and not paying attention and not taking her job seriously, quote, is what led to, you know, the death. So involuntary manslaughter. Now, Alec Baldwin, he may be in a little bit of trouble now that came down, because he's being tried separately for involuntary manslaughter later this year. He is pleading not guilty to that, but the assistant director, David Halls, made a very early deal with prosecutors, pleading no contest to a misdemeanor count of negligent handling of a gun. He served 6 months of his probation. So that's the guy who was crying on the stand and basically saying, like, you know, he had checked every other single time, every other time he had checked that gun before he handed it to Alec. This was the only time that he didn't.
All you gotta do is fuck up one time and people die.
Yeah.
That's why it's, you know, something you have to do every single time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on, too, with the fact that it's come out now, basically saying that the shooting wasn't foreseeable because Alec went off script while they were rehearsing the scene, that it did not call for a weapon. He wasn't supposed to have one at all on set. And so Gutierrez-Reed didn't know that that's what he was going to do that day, which may have been a contributing factor in her not being, quote, responsible, because she wasn't she wasn't thinking about it. It wasn't on her mind because she shouldn't have even had to worry about it that day.
Gotcha.
So yeah, when with his involuntary manslaughter case, he may be found guilty because of the change that he made. And in doing that, he put everyone's lives at risk because, I mean, I have to say, like, when it's something like that and you're responsible for, you know, we've talked about how many people died on sets. You're asking someone who that's their job to make sure everything's okay to switch gears like that. And I don't know that everyone can do that or they should even be asked to do that, especially when it comes to safety. So anyway, we shall see. But at least, you know, hey, that was something that just came out. By the time this airs, yeah, it'll be like a couple weeks. The information will be a couple weeks old by then. But we won't know what her sentencing is until the end of April anyway. So we'll see what happens. Just kind of keep an eye on that. Anywho, any other not hot topics, current events?
Well, I'll tell you what. And Cord, this might be a little more in your wheelhouse than the other two, but they've recently remastered Star Wars Battlefront 2 and Star Wars Battlefront 1, the OG versions, and put them out on the Switch.
Yeah, and people are saying it's terrible.
I mean, I disagree. It is Star Wars Battlefront. I mean, it is a PlayStation 2 game.
Godzilla Minus One won a f***ing Oscar, y'all.
I really need to see that movie, man.
Oh, so f***ing good. That's out of the way. All right, so we're going to talk about today an area that we haven't... Oh, well, you know, I'll say this. We're going to talk about an area that we haven't really covered yet. But, Cord, do you have any jokes for us today? Or are we still doing that in 2024?
I have a joke that is at least vaguely relevant to the subject material today. Do you want it now? I can implement joke now, if need be.
Yes.
Give it to me, baby. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Kayla.
All right. Well, what do we got?
Why is it hard to hug a scarecrow?
They smell like cow shit.
Also true, but no, not the answer. Because... when you do your grasping at straws. I got one. I got a chuckle. I got a chuckle. That's one, baby. That's one.
Yeah, that was a guy I liked. You know, it was nice and different, but not too cheesy.
Hey, Kayla.
Yep.
Why didn't the scarecrow eat very much for dinner?
I don't know why.
Was he stuffed?
It was already stuffed. Oh. Got him.
I'm off my game. I'm so off my game.
You want another one? I can give you another one.
Do one more.
Here's one that's really going to probably make Kayla cringe bad. Kayla, how do scarecrows say hello?
They scream real loud in your face.
Hey.
Oh.
That's like my favorite one out of those three. I like that one.
It was okay. Yeah, it was. That's a good one. I don't dislike it. I'll say that.
I think those three were less painful than my normal jokes. So.
I don't know if I'd agree with that.
Wow. Okay. Kayla's talking about Scarecrow today, just said.
Yeah, if that did fill you in.
West Point class of 1829 voted most likely to secede. Get it? It's 1829.
Because that's where there were a lot of the Confederate generals went to that. I think they graduated from that.
Okay.
Has nothing to do with anything we're talking about.
Yes, it does, because mine has to do with the Civil War.
Yeah. No, that's relevant. That's good.
Yeah.
Now that I understand it, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, yeah. I know. I hate that I had to explain
it. It's a brainiac joke.
It's one of those brain jokes.
One of them there smart folk jokes.
Cord is indirectly saying that I'm smart and I hate it.
I said it before we started recording, JC.
But that didn't get recorded from earlier, so I nixed that. Can't have that. Can't have people thinking JC might be smart. Shit.
No.
Your whole shtick is being a dumbass.
I barely know how to read.
All right, so we're going to be talking about a few places today with some really strange names for some folks. So I thought maybe I'll do a very quick rundown of these terms so that people know that we're not making these up. For example, Pennsylvania Wilds is a proper name referring to a specific region within the state of Pennsylvania. It's not just a nickname, but rather an official designation used to promote and highlight the natural beauty, recreational opportunities, and wilderness areas in the region. The term Pennsylvania Wilds was coined as part of a tourism initiative in 2003 to showcase the extensive forests expansive wilderness and outdoor recreation opportunities found in North Central PA. The region encompasses numerous state parks, forests, and protected areas, offering a wide range of outdoor activities such as hiking, fishing, hunting, camping, and wildlife viewing. The Pennsylvania Wilds region spans over a dozen counties, but today we're talking about one county in particular, and that is Potter County, and just a few of the strange tales that we love from that area. Before we get into that, I've got two more quick terms that listeners should know before we begin, and that is Dark Skies, Pennsylvania, and the Black Forest of Pennsylvania. So Dark Skies, Pennsylvania refers to a region in PA known for its exceptionally dark night sky, making it ideal for stargazing and astronomical observations. Light pollution is very minimal in this area. It allows for clear view of celestial objects. Efforts are often made to preserve dark sky areas, and same goes for this area in PA. And then we have something called the Black Forest of Pennsylvania. This term likely denotes the region because it's a dense forest, rugged terrain, got a wild atmosphere, and it covers a lot of Potter County. This area is renowned as one of the most challenging hikes in Pennsylvania, Black Forest Trail, and that derives its name from the dense, dark, carnivorous...
Carnivorous? What?
Carnivorous forest.
Oh, shit. That would make it a challenging hike.
It's dense, dark conifer forest that once blanketed the area. This place offers numerous vistas. The trails ascend to heights overlooking State Run, Morris Run, Big Dam Hollow, Naval Run, and Pine Creek, to name a few. That is where all this funky stuff is going on. And we've got ghost stories, and we've got cryptids.
Everything a man could want.
Exactly. When you're talking about a place called the Black Forest of Pennsylvania, there's going to be some cryptids. Keep in mind, though, that what did we talk about earlier? Cryptids don't care about what?
County lines.
Exactly. Yeah, so some of these, Clinton County, I think, right, might want to claim these. That's fine. They can do that. They've been seen there, too. Potter County is going to claim them, too, because they've been seen there as well. So who wants to go first? Age-old question on this podcast.
Well, I guess I will. You know, I'm doing the gewoggle. Let me tell you a bit of a story about one of the more interesting Pennsylvanian cryptids.
Paint me a picture. A mind picture.
Let's start off with basically think of a werewolf. But then the hands, change them to bird claws. And then the feet, change those to, usually people say like goat hooves. No, nay, nay. We're going to go to horse feet. So if you're attempting to track this thing, you're going to be like, well, it was like a werewolf creature. Obviously, it's going to leave wolf prints. Nay, nay is what the creature you would actually want to be tracking. That's what they say.
I get you. That might have been the cheesiest joke so far.
So it's an amalgamation of multiple animals kind of all put into one creature, the gewoggle, a monster, a lovable monster.
If I recall properly, this is a monster I did not want to have.
Probably because you're weak. Yes.
I believe so, yes.
Yes, Kayla, you passed. You passed on the gewoggle. Yeah. I did not, actually. For some reason, I said I would smash the thing. I'm not really sure why. Go ahead.
So the gewoggle, it's also the official monster of Clinton County, which I think it says a lot that they have one. And I think it's, you know, you can always pick like a Bigfoot, but Clinton County did the brave thing and they were like, gewoggle, that's who we're going. The gewoggle has not been seen since about 1909. So a little over 100 years, 115 years.
Hunted to extinction.
Well, no. See, the thing is, I don't think so, because gewoggles are summoned by witches. So I think there's just now a lack of witches in Pennsylvania, or the ones that are there are just choosing not to summon this adorable 6-foot-tall werewolf enhanced creature.
You know what? I think we need to change that. I can't do cloning or like animal rehabilitation, but I think I could summon a gewoggle.
I think you could too. With a positive enough attitude, you sure can. You heard it here first, folks.
Gewoggle rehabilitation project.
When you look up the gewoggle, you might be like, what does this thing do? Why would a witch summon it? Well, let's say you're a farmer minding your own business, going around town, beating up witches. So then a witch summons this creature basically to ruin your farm. How rude of her. Am I right? The Gwoggle will then go on at night, go onto your farm, kill your animals, destroy your crop, break all your tools.
I was waiting for milks your cows.
Murders your cows. A different M word. Part of the Gwoggle myth is there's a figure. Some call him a hero. Loophill Ike. He was described as a freelance paranormal expert who would fight witches, ghosts, Gwoggles, and other nasties. He would first start, you know, he'd do an examination of the property, see what's going on. He would do some spells to protect you. And if for whatever reason that didn't work, step two was a shotgun. And then going to the witch's cabin, burning it down, and with or without the witch inside, you know, who cares?
Oh, great.
So Loophill Ike was the hero that might have ran the witches who summoned Gwoggles into exile or extinction or whatever, you know. Any questions?
Those poor witches just trying to support the natural Gwoggle population.
Say, typical Pennsylvanian too, just, you know, if you got a problem, you all solve it. Just give me a revolver.
Whoa. Shotgun.
Oh, sorry.
It's like shooting your neighbor's dogs when they kill your chickens, right?
It's a three-step program, you know. He goes and investigates. He does his counter spells and protective rituals. And then he goes to shotgun.
I have an important question, JC.
Yeah, sure. Let's go.
Gwoggle versus Jersey Devil. We're not doing cord versus cryptid today. Cryptid versus cryptid. Gwoggle versus Jersey Devil. Go.
I'm going to go with a D&D logic. Jersey Devil can fly, which gives it a huge advantage. I would say maybe an unfair advantage. But, sure. And here's, I'm just thinking about this now. The Gwoggle does have an advantage in the fact that New Jersey does not exist. So the Jersey Devil definitely does not exist.
Fair. Okay.
I'm giving it to the devil.
What you do in your spare time, Kayla, is none of our business.
Oh, first off, we haven't smashed or passed that yet.
Yeah.
Smash. Come on.
No, absolutely not.
What, I'm sure we'll discuss it down the road.
Not the devil. A devil from New Jersey?
Ugh. Ugh. No. Ew. Yeah. I thought we were talking about like actual devil. Sorry.
It's not the devil. It's the devil.
No, the devil spawn in New Jersey. It's like the devil, but with a New Jersey accent.
Spoiler alert. We will be doing New Jersey Cryptid Smasher Pass next month.
Yeah. Here we go.
I'm already working on the list.
So I am talking about the Goblin Scarecrow of Potter County. And the interesting thing about the Goblin Scarecrow was the first thing I found when I was looking up information about it, which there isn't a whole lot, but a picture came up of a book and the book looked familiar. So I ran downstairs to my bookcase, which I haven't looked at in 10 years. And I found the book that showcases the Goblin Scarecrow. So I've had this book for decades now, and now I finally have a reason to open it. The book is Vampire Universe by Jonathan Mayberry.
Nice.
Didn't you show me that book before?
Oh yeah, probably. But it the descriptor on the front is the dark world of supernatural beings that haunt us, hunt us, and hunger for us. So it's basically just a book like a dictionary that A to Z covers different monsters, demons, and cryptids. But for whatever reason, Goblin was a tab in the book, and Goblin Scarecrow made it in the book. And there's actually a little picture in the book of the Goblin Scarecrow. So that's a fun fact if you want to look into that. But to describe the Goblin Scarecrow, it was first sighted in the 1950s by hunters in Potter County, which is why it's always attributed to Potter County as their Goblin Scarecrow. I'm not really sure how the goblin part comes to play, because it's not really described as small or like goblinoid in appearance, maybe just its hands being clawed, but it is more often described as just a tattered, rotting scarecrow with the head of a carved pumpkin with a fully usable mouth full of teeth.
Ooh.
Awesome.
The best way that I can describe the Goblin Scarecrow as I have read it is imagine Fiddlesticks from League of Legends mixed with Oogie Boogie from Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's truly terrifying.
Because it's said that instead of hay, the Goblin Scarecrow is full of maggots and bugs.
Delicious.
So some stories are always that people are hunting and they come across this creature that is in the distance and it'll look at them and it's this big scarecrow and it will screech or wail or howl and just look at them and like shriek. And then it will give chase to them. So, like, all the stories are people running from the Goblin Scarecrow. There was one case where the guy reported he shot it, but...
It was probably Ike.
But all that happened was that insects pulsed out of the wound instead of blood.
Yeah, it's f***ed up.
It's been spotted all over Western PA, as far south as Westmoreland County and as far east as Tioga, but it's more focused in Potter County. But it's literally been seen basically in almost every county from top to bottom of Western PA. Sometimes it's described as carrying a sickle or a scythe while it chases them, and other times it has nothing but its long, grotesque fingers.
So a spooky farmer.
Yeah, basically.
I dig it.
The teeth thing is what really makes it scary to me. I don't think pumpkins should have teeth.
Yeah, like it specifically states that it has a very, like, it is a working mouth.
A working mouth, you say?
Yeah, so when he catches up to you, he can go, hey.
God damn it.
Hey. I like that joke. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, my story from Potter County that I think is interesting is a haunting in the heart of Pennsylvania wilds, dark skies, along a place called Fisher Creek Road. And this is a cemetery. Sometimes it's called Fishing Creek Cemetery. Sometimes it's called Durward Cemetery. And this is near the line of Roulette and Clara townships. And it is still right along Fishing Creek Road. I looked into the cemetery because I was like, why is it called two different things? It's kind of weird. So a little bit of background about the area. You'd probably never even hear of this place or care at all about it, except for the ghost story that I'm about to tell you. It's a really small size cemetery, described by locals really as unremarkable. A lot of times it's not well maintained. There's some overgrowth occasionally. The only historical significance it holds is the local legend that I'm going to tell you. The naming convention seems to be just based off of either the geographical feature, which is Fishing Creek, or the families who are buried there, the Durwood family. But there is no exact reason in any text provided to say why there's two names for it. We are going to talk about the ghost of Amadon Baker. What I like about this story is that a lot of times with these local legends, you'll get like, oh, it was the ghost of Mary or Sarah, and she floats around the cemetery, and she was murdered when she was a young girl, and there's like no evidence to back up who this person is at all. Like, it's just all made up.
She awaits her husband's return.
Yeah, there's always that. Or she got hit by a car on prom night. Ugh, you know, we could do a whole episode just on that. But anyway.
He was swallowed by the mop bucket. He fell in while washing her clothes.
I was going to say her clothes caught on fire, but that's an actual reason for death, so we can't even use that.
She died of womanly womanness.
She was verklempt. So Amadon Baker is a real person, and he is buried at Durwood Cemetery, or Fishing Creek Cemetery, whichever one you prefer to call it. I like Fishing Creek Cemetery because it's a fantastic name for a creek. Fishing Creek. This is what it is, and this is what you do there. This is how we name things. This is how we should be naming things. Let's not make up any weird stuff. Okay, so let's call it Fishing Creek Cemetery because that's where it's next to. I love it. Straightforward. Amadon Baker, he's buried there. He's a Civil War soldier. He's born in 1832 in Andover, New York. He's got credentials, guys. He fought in Company 1, 16th New York Cavalry Regiment during Civil War. So he returned home June 5th, 1865, and he was living in Roulette at the time of his death on November 9th, 1889, at the age of 57.
So he had many happy years with his boots.
Right. The first sighting of him happens in 1890, and that is by a local Willis Tauscher, and he recognizes him. So that's kind of a plus here with this particular ghost. Is like, it's not just some random person. Like, Willis is like, holy crap, that's freaking Amadon. He is always carrying his boots with him, which is pretty significant. During the Civil War, our guys had to preserve their boots. They weren't really well equipped. So trying to hold on to your boots, for example, not walking in them, not wearing down the soles of your boots. He took that habit that he picked up during the war and continued that on as a way to preserve even his work boots, which the anthropologist in me is like, we don't think about the fact that being in the military, everything that you do afterwards really does affect things that you do in the everyday life. So you may be retired military, but you're still doing the same habits, the same things that worked for you while you were in the military.
Well, I think any military brat would tell you that.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
My dad always has to do this and put this here and put that right there. Yep. And he talks like this and yes, sir, no, sir.
Yeah. He's no exception. He just continued doing the same thing to preserve his footwear, apparently, and did that until he died and then is still doing it. So that's kind of cool. His wife and his 11 children never said anything about it, never recorded as, you know, any kind of feelings about it, like that's crazy or oh gosh, yeah, that's him. So we don't have any indication if they knew or cared about it. They probably knew about it, I would say, small town. So if you're out that way, check out Fisher Creek or Durwood Cemetery, you might wind up seeing Amadon Baker walking around carrying his Civil War boots.
Well, I can say that when I get a good pair of boots, I don't want to lose them either. Those shits are expensive.
Right?
That's fair. That's very fair.
Like, I have 3 or 4 pairs of work boots, and Justin's always saying, oh, why don't you throw them out? No, because if something happens to one pair of my work boots, I got to have my other pair of work boots.
I always keep 2. Pairs, I should say, 2 pairs.
Again, though, my only thing is like, okay, so he's just hanging out in the cemetery? Like,
who would do that?
Oh, that's the part that's weird, right?
Who eats their lunch in cemeteries just for the hell of it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about the trope of the cemeteries haunted by the dead. And I'm just like, no, the dead would probably haunt the places where they were from. That's my particular theory on it.
My thing is, like, it used to be a way bigger thing to, like, have picnics and hang out in cemeteries and stuff like that. So I feel like a ghost who's haunting a cemetery chose to haunt that cemetery because they liked it.
Well, I was gonna say, it's right next to Fishing Creek. So the next question I would ask is, was this just the way he walked all the time when he went fishing? All those years after after the war. And why not preserve your boots when you're having to walk through a pretty well-kept area back then? You know, your cemetery would be, you know, think about maybe the ones even now. Yeah, I could even walk barefoot through the cemeteries around here, no problem. Like, they're well-kept and you can see where you're walking. So might just be the residual energy of him walking to go fishing every day or every other day or whatever. But I do like that he's a real person, as opposed to just some random.
Yeah, it's definitely more credible than some of the other stories we've come across.
You guys ready for the big guy, the nondescript?
I'm looking forward to the most descriptive tale we're going to have today.
Nondescript is kind of a misleading name for the creature, but at the same time, I kind of get it. I'm going to paint you guys a mind picture. Okay, so listen to this, because this is the first encounter reported of the Potter County nondescript. So take you back. It's 1897. Around this time of year, you are a fisherman, okay? You go out to the stream on your horse, ready for a nice relaxing day of fishing. And you put your pole in the water, And you're sitting there for a while and you're having a grand old time. And at some point, maybe you take a gander back at your horse and realize instead of your horse grazing, he's kind of spooked by something. Oh, that's a little alarming. So maybe you pull your fishing pole out of the water and go investigate. And after a little while of peering into the forest, because this guy would most likely be very camouflaged, you see a very strange creature. Described as about human height, 6 or 7 feet, very hairy, and tusks about 6 to 7 inches long coming out of his mouth, kind of like walrus teeth, is staring back at this fisherman. And once they lock eyes, this large hairy man creature gives chase immediately. Uh-oh. So you jump on your horse and you run back home and immediately tell the newspaper what the hell happened. Because what did I just see in the middle of the woods? A giant hairy ape man with massive, massive teeth. This was an actual recorded encounter. It was written in the newspaper. Fisherman up in Nelson Run, dark skies, around the same area where Kiki was. Her story, I should say. And, yeah, that was the first of, I believe, the only two encounters of the Potter's County nondescript. So, a few characteristics of these two that are very similar is the description is basically the same, and he likes to chase you, much like some other of our, hairy ape-like men in the woods, the look behind, and I believe the green man, the grass man, they all chase you down when you look at them, but I remember specifically the look behind. The newspaper took this story and ran with it a little bit to some mixed results. Some people were naysaying it as a hoax. That is, of course, until the second encounter. William Butler.
Dang it.
William Butler also had an encounter with this creature, and the paper described William Butler as a, quote, very truthful man, so we know he's definitely not lying. Old Willie said he saw the same creature feasting upon the carcass of a groundhog, and again, this creature looked up and locked eyes with the person observing him, and threw the groundhog, and he roared and beat his chest and chased him. William said at some point, this creature started leaping over some things, making some strides, and claimed that one of these jumps that it made covered 30 feet in a single bound, which is some serious athleticism from our boy the nondescript. He describes it very much the same, about 6 feet tall, excessive hair, and tusks 6 or 7 inches long. This encounter is where the newspaper called it the nondescript. William said he had well over a minute of just staring at this thing before it gave chase, so he did get a good look at it. He claimed to the newspaper, this thing started chasing him, but William's dog actually scared it away. Barked at it, said, get away from my man, and this thing said, not worth it, and left. Good he dog. Said it ran down towards Clinton County. Your county borders do not mean anything to the nondescript, as we mentioned before. Specifically down towards Kettle Creek. So creeks, he's bothering fishermen, makes sense to me, right? These stories kind of started a bit of a journalism spat amongst a couple local newspapers. The Enterprise is the newspaper that broke the story. And they had their naysayers, to a point where said naysayers were making counter articles saying that this thing was the exhausting description of a gorilla that got loose in the woods of Pennsylvania. And for those of you who haven't read any of Tim Renner's books about old Sasquatch sightings, this is an extremely common thing around this time to try to disprove Sasquatch encounters in the Americas. But the reason why I say that this is exhausting and doesn't really hold water is at that time in history, we had only like just barely discovered gorillas in general. And not only were they not in most circuses where people claim they escaped from, they were unfathomably expensive to obtain. So if it got loose, you are going to search for it. Like, you're not just going to be like, oh, shoot, and buy another one. So there's not a bunch of gorillas running around in the woods of Pennsylvania
that you know about.
That I'm aware of, yes, because, you know, I spent enough time in the woods to say I'm pretty sure there's no gorillas. I know enough people who go into the woods all the time that say they haven't seen a gorilla, but I guess you never know, right? As far as I'm aware, there have only been two actual encounters of the nondescript that have been legitimately recorded, and those are the two encounters that I have. To me, this thing is very obviously a Sasquatch. I never heard of a Sasquatch description before that gave it tusks in any real way. So that's definitely interesting to me.
Yeah, like the pictures of those guys. They got those giant tusks.
I tried to Google search to try to get maybe like a full body pic of Mr. Nondescript. And when I Google searched, there was maybe a total of 15 pictures that showed up, two of which were the exact same picture of the nondescript that I'm staring at right now, which is just a face shot. And the other pictures were of the Jawoggle and the scarecrow that Kayla talked about. So I did not see any other pictures of the nondescript except the one that I'm currently looking at right now. I have not found any other encounters of this thing. So he was around in the late 1800s. He might still be around for all I know, but
Blue Pill Ike got him.
Maybe.
Maybe he did. He said, I'll take care of this. He read the newspaper. I'll take care of this.
Not in my county.
Funny how you always give folk heroes like a southern accent when they're in Pennsylvania.
Well, he has Virginian heritage.
Not in my county. And you're like, we're in Pennsylvania, dude.
And to be fair, if you go up to Pennsylvania, I'm just saying. It's not that inaccurate. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, like talk to any of my family.
Yeah, but Virginia's got a very specific accent. They're all refined there.
I do declare there is a Sasquatch over yonder.
That's it.
I do believe we need to give chase.
Release the hounds.
I do believe we need to gather the townsfolk and tell them to bring along their pitchforks and flaming torches, if you would be so kind.
I love this. I never want Cord to stop talking like that.
The stench coming off of this Sasquatch creature is giving me the vapors, sir.
All right, so today's music is brought to you by a band called The Fair Attempts. One of the best damn names ever, because, you know, it sums up my life. You know, basically, I've just made a fair attempt at everything. And the song is called Beyond the Edge of Nowhere, and it's freaking amazing. It is in my, quote, Take Over the World playlist. I listen to it at least, I don't know, two or three times a day, because I have that issue where you have to listen to a song all the time until you try to hate it, but it's never going to happen with the song because it's freaking awesome. And a shout out to Shell Shock Radio on YouTube. And also, I think he's on Spotify too, but he's mostly on YouTube and TikTok. And that is the lead singer of a band that we played a while back. He is from Germany, and his band is King Sinister. We played Donka a long time ago, probably the beginning of last year, I think, is when Donka got played by King Sinister. So Tobias is the lead singer. And basically what he does is he talks about different bands in the goth industrial, you know, metal scene. And The Fair Attempts came up, and he was like, oh, I gotta listen to this song. It's like freaking great. And then I did, and I immediately contacted them and was like, hey, can we play your song on the show? Because it's amazing. And they are from Finland. So not necessarily a local band, but somebody that I want to promote. So listen to this song, and when we get back, we'll do our Spooky Squad news.
My
Welcome back.
All right, so we've changed quite a few things since last year. Added something, deleted something. Most of you know by now, Twitter is gone. We do not have Twitter account anymore. I am on Threads. We are on Threads. I am running it, though, so I am on Threads.
Technically, I'm also on Threads, but don't.
I don't know what that is, so I'm not there.
It's Instagram's Twitter.
I'm sewing with Threads right now.
We're on Instagram, and I took a little break from adding new material during our hiatus. We're all on Facebook, but I rarely check in there. I'll be honest with you. I don't really use it that much anymore. So Instagram and Threads is the way to go if you're looking for checking out new material, seeing what we're doing. And then, of course, TikTok. That one is mostly movie reviews and some music reviews. Yeah. We still have our Patreon. So if you want to join, we have $1, $3, $5 level. $1 gets you our undying gratitude and a shout out on the cast, as well as access to our booper reels. They come out basically once a month, if not every other month at the most, because JC talks a lot of shit I have to cut out of the podcast, but I put it in there.
I say so many wonderful things. I think it's slanderous that you call it shit. That's what I'm saying.
We released our States up at the $1 level, and then we've added the States episodes with me, JC, and Cord at the $3 level. So we'll continue doing that for a while. We had it was just me and Cord doing, and Kayla came in for 1-2 for the magic episodes, and we did that while JC was on break. So he's back now, so we'll be starting that up again. And then at the $3 level, you get the stat block card and the art card for Cord versus Cryptid, and that will be continuing that in some fashion going forward. And then $5 level, basically, you're just supporting us because you think we're awesome and you want us to keep doing what we're doing.
Or because you're a host that doesn't ever listen to the episodes and it kind of makes you feel bad, so you feel like you should just throw money at it to make your problems go away.
There's that too. Yeah, nice. I've also added on the $3 level, I've added my moon rituals, so there's just January and February and a little peek into my personal grimoire. At this point, the only other thing we have going on that is outside of Mission Spooky is that I'm still a member of the cast of Tales of Thurn, so we're in season 4. And we had all new characters. So right about now, there's probably about 7 episodes for you to listen to get into it. And then if you want to go back and listen to seasons 1, 2, and 3, I don't start until the 3rd season. But the reason I'm in it is because 1 and 2 were amazing. And then we did a lot of crossovers with Logan and Ben. So I highly suggest going back and listening to the whole thing, whether I'm in it or not. It is amazing. Ben is a great storyteller. So we have to have, apparently we need to have at least Logan and Ben on, because a question was asked about whether or not Paul Bunyan was a kaiju or not, Cord. And I said that was a Mission Spooky episode.
I agree. I can get into that. I already have an opinion on it. We can get into that.
So see, this is the crossover. These are the crossovers. This is why we work with Tales of Thurn so much, and Godzilla Destroy All podcast, because we've been on there too. So that's the other reason that we started talking about whether or not Paul Bunyan was a kaiju or not. I have an opinion as well. I think that Babe definitely is a kaiju. You know, Babe the big blue ox. I have a little slightly differing opinion on Paul Bunyan himself, but I think one that makes sense. So we may save that. We'll hold that. We're going to table this topic, because I really think that this would be a good bonus episode to have as a fun.
We could probably have a very long conversation about this.
And we could talk about some other very giant objects.
Especially if we don't necessarily agree, we could probably talk about this for a long ass time.
I mean, as far as it goes for me, smash?
Right?
Oh yeah.
Not yet.
Hell yeah.
Yes. And we will have, we decided as part of our whimsical new tack, we'll be continuing our Smasher Pass with different paranormal and high strangeness themes. So hopefully that's gotten a good reception. We enjoy doing them. That's all that matters, right, guys?
Yes.
I like to have fun.
Doesn't matter if no one listens to us.
That's just every day for me.
I was going to say, that's just normal. Oh, man. Taking us out once again today is The Fair Attempts with their song Beyond the Edge of Nowhere. You can learn more about The Fair Attempts at thefairattempts.com, and you can follow them on their socials at Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, Bandcamp, Amazon Music. And of course, this song and all the music that we're going to be featuring this year will be on the Mission Spooky Spotify playlist for 2024. As always, stay spooky and don't die. But if you do, contact us.
If you do die and you wish to contact us, please have it be via writing a message, summoning a Gwoggle, and having him deliver the message. To, or her. Gender neutral, whatever, Gwoggle, as long as it is a Gwoggle, have that deliver the message to us. Thank you.
Kill your soul and celebrate. Halted acclimates. You must have felt like you're a god when you threw yourself there. Beyond the edge of nowhere. Your memory will fade. You're my